The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, after braving her own change, Andy Andrew now helps others navigate the unknown roads ahead.
And I had gotten so much help and so much healing from a lot of stuff in my past growing up. And when that started to resurface, I was like, okay, a lot of stuff is broken down. A lot of stuff has changed over this year. So I called a friend, one of my closest friends, and she says these words to me. Well, Andy, you're gonna be okay, but we need a game plan.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. We have got a fun show for you today, and I'm glad you're here with us. We have Andy Andrew with us today. I have never met her personally.
Oh, you hadn't?
I have not, but
she's been on before. Audiences love her.
I love her.
Yeah,
I love her. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her in case you've never met her before. She is a host of a podcast called Coffee with Andy, and I think right there you should probably just want to be her friend. Coffee with anybody. I mean, I'm in, totally in, but she is just an incredible person. She's a great speaker. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add to her bio also a singer and a dancer, because I've seen her online trying to dance and do the robot, and I'm like,
I didn't know that.
Let's just add that to her bio. So many things you didn't know. But she has co-pastored with her husband for many, many years. She's also an incredible author. And she has a brand new book out called Braving Change, Release the Past, Welcome Growth, and Trust Where God is Leading You. Andy, it's so nice to really meet you officially right now.
It was so good to dance with you in the hallway, too.
Girl, I know. I was feeling it. Oh, this...
No, y'all go ahead. That's your thing.
We'll do it. But look, I am so happy to talk to you because, you know, your book meant so much to me. I'm a girl for the last 22 years that has walked through change.
Yeah.
You know, I lost my husband 22 years ago, and it was tragic. It was an ending to my life in so many ways. It was a massive transition and enormous change. And so your book really ministered to me also in so many ways, even chapters on grief. And and I think that there are so many people that might be tuning in today that might feel stuck and might not know how to transition properly. And how do we embrace and become brave through the changes in our lives? We all need that. So I'm going to start by asking you, what was it in your life, if you can take me back, that where you had to face being brave? What was that like for you to actually inspire such a book today?
There are two things, and I'm going to share them with you quickly, but where this kind of began, where I felt like the Lord was really teaching me about transition and change, was when my mother-in-law was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, and we lost her very quickly. And then at the same time, and I know this may sound crazy, but I have this beautiful, redeemed relationship with my parents, and they helped us plant our church in New York City. And at the exact same time, they felt like it was time for them to transition and leave. So at this one moment in time, I lost my support network. I felt like I was losing my parents. And I remember being so angry and broken and crying out to God. And do you know what he showed me? I was reading in Exodus when the children of Israel had left and they had seen the greatest signs, wonders, and miracles. And they started to yell at Moses and Aaron, saying, "You brought us out here to die when we want to go back and eat our meat pots." And the Lord was like, "This is what is happening with you. You've cried out for change in your life. And just because it doesn't look like what you thought it would, I'm trying to show you that I am your father. I am present with you, but you are crying out for the meat pots of your past." And I think that was a season for me where I realized change is constant and I better get good at maneuvering change. And I felt like throughout those years, the Lord began to give me wisdom on that. And just recently, we transitioned 2 years ago, the church that we planted in New York City and that we had planted, and we moved to Charleston, South Carolina, and the grief and the loss, there's so much with that story, but that's when it felt like it was the right time to begin to write what I had been learning over the years.
You said a word there, and you know, we're told that when change happens, right, we're not supposed to grumble.
Yes.
Is it okay, though, to grieve?
100%. I think that was the biggest chapter for me. I think it's chapter three when I started to write the need to grieve, and I didn't realize how much I had bottled up. And I think the thing that maybe we all learn either the hard way or the right way is that if we do not grieve properly, because he says he comforts those who mourn, mm-hmm. and what do? We store up the grief in our body. It mm-hmm. will come out some way, shape, or form.
That's right.
And so we have to be able to grieve the good and
yes.
the bad.
Yes.
Because I found that often grief and gratitude, you can have gratitude for a new season, but grieve the one that you just lost. Mm. And so even in the middle of writing that, my eldest son was in his senior year, and I pre-grieved everything.
Like, I was like, pre-grieved.
He's leaving me. And oh. And so I do think that grief is so, so important, and we need to do it well and not avoid it, because it will come out.
How does that look, though? I mean, mm-hmm. right? Because there's got to be a proper way to do it, and mm-hmm. then one that's not so healthy. I don't know. How do we do it in a healthy way? Does
totally. That make sense? There's many personality types, obviously. Yeah. There's like, you think about the firstborn during a funeral, they're going to be making sure everyone else is okay. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the firstborn. It can be anybody in the family that takes a role that's like, I've got to make sure everything's okay. They stuff it down. They're not the crier. And they're the person that one day in 6 months' time, it's all going to come out
right.
with one
yeah.
little
right.
thing happening. Yep. You know what I mean?
I know.
I don't know.
What
are you like? What were you like?
I know what you mean. I'm a fixer, but I'm just like, I hold a lot in.
Yeah.
I'm one of those girls, even with my grief and the grief journey. Is I'm strong. I hold a lot
yes.
in. And it takes one little thing that triggers one of the silliest little
silly.
Things.
It's always silly.
That nobody's around.
Yeah.
I'm in my house and it's just fallen on the floor, put a dent in the floor.
Yes.
And it was like the floor tread and I put it and I'm just like, and I
yes.
lose it. I am a total mess. And I,
yeah.
But I have allowed myself, Andy,
yeah.
to be in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I carry it a lot, but I've allowed myself also the permission. We say that a lot. Give yourself permission. But you have to.
Yeah.
Because grief is either going to grow you or it's going to destroy you.
There you go.
And I was determined early on that I was not going to let this grief destroy my life.
Come on.
That I was going to
yeah.
walk through it, that I was going to scream if I needed to
yeah.
scream. I was going to get mad.
Yeah.
I've gone through the anger. I've gone through all of that. I've celebrated joy.
Yeah.
And I think so many of us have gone through those different seasons, but we want to know that God isn't disappointed with us
yeah.
when we're mad,
mm.
that God isn't disappointed with us when we're angry
mm-hmm.
in the moment, you know? And I think I've had to learn all of that. And like
yeah.
Randy said, how do you do that in the right way?
Yeah.
To stop listening to the lies that God is mad at you if you're not handling this properly.
Yeah. Well, I think you do have to be kind to yourself. You have to realize that there are stages to grief. And if you find yourself in a place of anger, you're in a place of grief.
Mm.
How do we get to the place of acceptance? So I think it's paying attention to, and there's no, when you say the right way, I think it's more being cognizant and aware of the stage of grief that you're in, because everybody grieves differently and everyone walks through the process differently. So if you're one of those fixers, be aware of what you're doing. If you're a person who goes inside themselves and actually, you know, isolates, choose to not isolate and bring people into the journey. And so that is like a main thing that I walk through is like, what do those seven stages look like? Recognize where you are in the stages of grief and recognize if you're stuck in a cycle of grief
yes.
and be able to cry out for help
yes.
and bring people alongside. A lot of times what I'll tell people is if you don't like to grieve, if you're like, I'm not a crier, sometimes the best homework for somebody is to go home, shut the door, tell your kids, tell your family, don't come in, it's gonna get ugly in here. Turn on a song
yeah.
that gets you in the heart, like
yes,
gets you
yes.
in your feelings and wail and mourn. Because if you think about even scripturally, like Jesus wept, Jesus mm. grieved, Jesus walked through the process, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you look at all of that. And even thinking about the New Testament, our Old Testament, coming upon one of those funerals would have been terrifying because they were loud,
yeah.
sackcloth and ashes. Like, we don't allow ourselves to really feel what's going on. And so I think it's really important to find those places and spaces and people that you can walk through grief with properly.
Absolutely. You talk in your book also about change, like the relationship
mm-hmm.
between change and growth.
Yeah.
Explain that a little bit too.
Well, for me, I think that's one of those things too, is so many of us were like, God, would you change change my life? Would you do these things for me? And then he begins to, and you're like, okay. So, like, I would like you to do it another way.
Yeah. This isn't working for me, God.
Yeah, this is not my game plan. I asked you to bless my blueprint. And he's like, that's cute. So I think in multiple seasons, and it was that season years ago with all of the loss of my parental unit, if you will, at that time while we were pastoring, I felt like the Spirit of God say to me, transition will either teach you or it'll take you out. You get to choose. Mm-hmm. What are you building your life on? And so the shaping and the molding really, like in the scriptural basis and foundation of the book is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. One of the greatest changes where we see Jesus ushering in the kingdom of heaven, the new covenant. And after he says, like, this is really how to follow in the way and bring the kingdom of heaven, he says, now, if you hear my words and actually do what they say, then you're building your house upon a rock. So when the storms come and the wind beats against your house, which isn't that interesting? Storms are promised. Mm-hmm. Your house won't fall down. Mm. But then if you listen to my words but don't do what I say, you might as well build your life on the sand. It's kind of like good luck. Like things are going to come crashing down. And listen, we're in an election year. There's a lot going on in the world. What are we building our lives on?
Yes.
Because we need to be shaped and molded more into the likeness of Christ. And usually we find out what we build our have built our lives on in change and transition in difficult times. And so pay attention to that and then go, okay, God, I want you to teach me and grow me and mold me and shape me and correct me where I need to be building on the right things.
Mm. So the idea of building on the rock and being exposed sometimes by the winds of change, I think it begs a question of after a transition, and it can be anything, an unwanted one, a tragedy, a planned one that just doesn't feel like the way you planned it, right?
Yeah.
Or just maybe the ages of life, all my kids are married now, so it's a different home. Mm-hmm. How do we, if we haven't fully built on that rock, how do we rebuild after these changes, whatever that change may
be? Talk a lot about having a game plan. And that was language that came to me after actually really just having a breakdown at the end of 2020 and pastoring in New York City through that. And really starting to have panic attacks in front of my children. Like, again, I was like, this is embarrassing. Usually I could, take care of those and do them somewhere else. And I had gotten so much help and so much healing from a lot of stuff in my past growing up. And when that started to resurface, I was like, okay, a lot of stuff is broken down. A lot of stuff has changed over this year. Mm-hmm. So I called a friend, one of my closest friends. My husband was like, I think you need to call Irene. So I give her a call and she says this all the time. We need to be authentic with the many and vulnerable with the few. So not everybody gets to have everything. You got to have people in your world. So I was in this broken down place. I knew I needed to rebuild. So I shared with her what was really going on. And she says these words to me. Well, Andy, you're going to be okay, but we need a game plan. And so in that, she was helping me to rebuild. She was a friend that came alongside me. And in that season, it's going to look different whatever season you're in, the rebuilding. So you got to pay attention and look around the rubble and go, okay, what needs to be left and what do I need to rebuild? In that season, I knew I needed my spiritual, my mental health needed to be strengthened again. So I ended up going to this place in Colorado in Buena Vista. It was a two-week intensive that she told me about. Oh, my gosh. Radically changed my life. I mean, I walked out of there going, I'm literally not the same person. And then she said, I'd love for you to join my pastor's Celebrate Recovery group. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have trouble with addiction, but codependency from my upbringing, it had literally shattered me in my leadership. So I went to this group, and this was part of my game plan, to meet with these women every single week, pastors around the world, to be vulnerable with them, to grow and be discipled, and to be changed and rebuild those things that had been broken down in my life. So that was my game plan in that season. But for anyone else watching, like, your game plan looks differently. You've really got to bring the right people in and ask God, what do I need to do to move forward to rebuild after all of this change? Like you said, the stuff you ask for and the stuff you don't ask for.
Yeah. Can I point out one thing that Irene said to you? She started by saying, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But that hope that she gave you,
How
critical is it that we always have hope?
So critical. And I don't know, because when it's that dark, you actually don't believe that that's true unless someone can look you in the eyes and go, I see who you really are. You're going to be okay.
Someone that you trust. That's what you made that call to the person you trusted the most, who had been walking life out with you, that knew you the best, that said, you're going to be okay. But she didn't leave you there also.
No.
Sometimes we also just kind of stop there. You're going to be okay, because also sometimes we don't know what to say. But I love that she said, but we need a game plan.
Yeah.
Some things, we've got to change some things. You've got to make some changes.
Yeah.
Do you want to heal?
Yes.
Do you want to believe in hope again? Do you want to dream again?
Yeah.
Do you want to believe of a God of impossibles? Then you've got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you said, I'll go.
And I'll do it.
And I'll do the hard work.
I think that's really important too, because you said those words and it alluded to what Jesus would say often to the paralytic, who it was obvious what they needed. But it's like, do you want to be made whole?
Yes.
There's like we need people that bring hope, but we have to choose to move forward too.
Yes. Andy, you say in chapter 5, and I wanted to see if you break this down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You just use the simple word, remain. Can you break that down for me even more today? Remain.
Yes. I think, too, sometimes when we're going through a lot or we're weathering a storm and we would like a different change, and we're like, God, can you just move some people out of my life? Or I remember a season went John 15. Where he was like, hey, Andy, because I love you, I cut things off. Because I love you, I prune even the things that are growing back. Because of that, what I need you to do is remain in me as I remain in you. I need you to abide. And so there's this whole thing that I talk about where often after change, we want to feel better.
Yeah.
But often what the Lord is saying is, you actually need to remain in me. You need to abide in me. There is no other game plan. That's the game plan.
Remain in me.
Remain, remain, remain. And I think that was the tragedy of pastoring through some difficult years, was watching so many people's foundations being built on the sand and they weren't remaining in the right thing. It broke me.
Yeah.
And so this is where I'm just like, I want this to be a field guide for people in difficulty, because we never know what we're going to face personally, corporately, in our nation or the nations. So we have to pay attention to these things.
Change is inevitable.
It is.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah.
Change is going to happen to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just read something that ministered to me? It was a quote in chapter 3, because obviously whenever I go to a book that's talking about grief, even 22 years later, I still process through different things. And God has brought great healing in my life, but I was gravitated toward this chapter, and it might minister to somebody today that needs this as well. It says, give yourself permission to release the past and change. After seismic life events, we have to accept that we'll simply never be the same, nor will those around us, which means you have permission to change. Let go of the identity you formed to pacify and satisfy the expectations of others. They may not understand as you move forward, but let go the need to please others and stay grounded in and centered on Jesus, braving change and the grief that comes with it. Change is hard, grief is hard, but I believe God is wanting to say to you today too, that it's possible for you to heal. It's possible to be restored. It's possible for you to get in a season of your life where you are able to brave the changes in your life and look at the past and to see it as a stepping stone into a great future that God has for you more. Not a God who takes, but a God who gives and a God who brings increase into your life today.
Yeah. And by the way, I love that you shared that. Thank you for that. If you're watching and you are going through something and you want someone to just agree with you in prayer, there's a telephone number we'll put on the screen right there. That's a prayer line. It's for people that will listen to you, that will pray with you, that will stand with you, whatever you're going through. There is hope. There's always hope in Christ for you. But if you want to talk that out with someone, call that number right now. Also, you may want to go a little further with Andy. There's a wonderful chapter in here on finding rhythms of rest. Mm-hmm. Some of you need to find that rest. Mm-hmm. You can ask for Andy's book, Braving Change, today. When you help us bring hope to others, watch this and you'll see how.
Pẹt thơ, tự thơ ca nâng tôi thơ ca hộp tộc. lực hộ với anh nhiều. Hãy tới việc đặt thêm nhóm ở đây. Hãy gặp lắng. Gặp lắng. Kể thở anh nhóm hay.
From the bright lights to the brothels, on any given night all around the world, there are millions of young girls who thought they were going to work in a legitimate job only to find themselves in a situation just like Kim, where their lives were turned upside down by sex traffickers. And that's where Life Outreach's partners step in, to rescue girls who have been forced into prostitution by human traffickers.
Whenever we're able to arrest a trafficker, it's a huge win, because not only does it mean that place is shut down, but that might mean that tens or maybe even hundreds of girls won't be trafficked because of that.
SWAT raids are just one of the means our mission partners use to rescue girls. Others will reach out one-on-one and befriend girls who feel trapped in the world of sex trafficking. Once girls are taken into our mission partners' safe houses, their lives are forever changed.
I want to see them to have a safe place to stay. I want them to have people in their life who they can trust. And I want them to keep fighting for a better future and fighting for the goal that they have in life. And I want to see them still living with hope, because I believe that when they come here, it's not an accident. God plans for them, and His plan always for good.
Goodness. I think the only thing about that piece that makes me smile is the hope of that safe place, knowing that there is a place that is safe for these girls to be restored. So many of these children need to be rescued right now. I don't know what more I could say. I don't know what more I could say for you to feel the urgency right now. What's happening to these children around the world right now is real. And we have a responsibility to do everything we can to reach them, to rescue them, and to restore their beautiful lives. Give them a hope. Give them a future. We've been doing it for years, and we are not going to stop. Even if that one child is our focus, we will focus on that one. We will get to them, and we will bring them back to life. And then we'll go get another and another and another. We will not stop as long as God has called us to this mission. We will be faithful to it. And we're asking you today, if you'd come alongside us and be faithful with us to reach another child today, in the next minute, we could do that together, Randy.
Yeah, yeah. And Tammy, you know, this is one of the greatest evils of our time.
It's terrible, yes.
We look back in history, yes, and we say, if I had lived at that point in time, I would have done this or I would have done, yeah, this. Well, we live at a point where there is a great evil among us. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what will we do?
Exactly.
And fortunately, we have some friends that have come alongside us, and they have offered $320,000 to match your gift today. Now, what does that mean? There's three things we do in this. We reach, we rescue, and we restore. What does that mean? We reach into places, not just overseas like you saw in that piece, but here in the United States, we offer education. We prevent young children from being trafficked in the first place. That's the first part of it. We also rescue, which means my favorite part, kicking in doors, arresting bad guys.
Yes.
Here in the United States, it means shutting down some trafficking rings using technology. There's a lot of interesting things going on. And then we restore. We give them skills. We give them hope. We give them the gospel. I got to tell you, there's no hope without Christ. That's our view. And so everything that we do will offer Christ as the center. So my question for you today, as we come to you for the last week on the air, we'll be doing this around the year, is what will you do with the matching gift? Normally, it's about $128 to reach, rescue, or restore one child. But that means a gift of $128 today. We'll actually do that for two children. Some of you could do that for many more. In fact, a gift of $1,280 would do that for 20 children today. That's why we need everybody to come alongside of us and say, I'll do my part.
Yes.
Because the need is great. The darkness is great, but the light is greater. And so I know, Tammy, if everybody will do something, we can change so many lives, and every life is precious.
You said it, Randy. Today is the day to come together and kick down the doors of the enemy, to kick down the doors of hell. Let's do it today. Let's do it now.
Yeah. Go to the phone. Go online. Make the best gift you can.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help rescue one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the brand new book from James Robison and Jay Richards, Fight the Good Fight. This book will open your eyes to what's at stake and the unwavering truth that God isn't finished with our nation. It's time to fight the good fight and return to unshakable biblical principles. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the NIV Large Print Thin Line Bible. This easy-to-carry, easy-to-read NIV Bible with comfort print allows you to take in more of God's Word each time you open your Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
The only hope some of those young girls and boys will ever hear is the hope that you give them when you support this outreach. I hope you'll do it. It's the last week we're going to be doing that on the air. So please go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. And if you want Andy Andrews' book, Braving Change, request it with any gift. And you know, Tammy, I know it's going to bless people.
I know it is. And I know it's an important book for those of you that are struggling and you're looking for answers. I believe that God has anointed specific people for specific seasons to help guide us through those seasons in our lives. And I believe, Andy, you are one of them. Love you. Appreciate you. Such an honor to meet you. Thank you for this book.
Good
and so many
you.
More to come. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
God, okay, I'm feeling more burdened than free and more stressed than peaceful. What more do I have to do?
Resting in God's grace tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.